Mark 2:27, and it says, "And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath."
Happy Sabbath to all of you today. Again, it's always good to see familiar faces and some new faces, and we welcome every face here today. I was there last night. I'm not going to ask if you were there last night, but I want you to know I received a wonderful blessing, and I want to encourage you to come. Now, it's not unusual during a series of meetings to have some challenges, because if I was the enemy, I wouldn't want the message to come through clearly either. And at first we thought, well, maybe things aren't going to work out too well, and we'll just have to kind of listen a little bit more intently. And we listened intently. The first part, it was a little jumbled. Not that the speaker was having difficulty. It was a sound situation over there. And one of our helpers, one of our ministries in preparation for each night, is the prayer ministry. And I was there in the pew along with the rest of you. And as they were having this problem, I heard our ladies and gentlemen in the prayer ministry praying. I don't know if you heard them. I did. I couldn't help that. I was sitting right next to them. And they were praying for God to get through the message. And he did. And my soul, my heart was touched. And I know yours was too. And shall I say it? The best is yet to come. Look forward to seeing you. Join me as we sing together, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
I want to invite you to join me as we turn in our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. We'll be looking at verse 12. And as you're turning there, I want to congratulate you. I really do. Someday, you and I are going to have the opportunity to turn back. We're going to be able to look back. And we're going to be able to say, I lived through the year of 2020. I lived through the year of 2021 and into the year of 2022. I surveyed, or I should not say surveyed. Yes, we did that too. I survived the pandemic of COVID. Yes, I lived through the ridiculous times of 6 feet social distancing, the masks, the lockdowns, and all the mandates and all the injustices. I lived through that. But as I stand before you today, we're still there. We're still in this time, this present crisis. It's not over yet. Oh, I believe that somehow, some way, God is going to give us a time of peace, but it will be short-lived. And so now, my friends, now is the time for us to get our lives together. Amen? Now is the time to open the Word of God and to seek Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. Blow off the dust of your Bibles and get to know Jesus Christ and choose those things, in some cases, some of us, that we used to do that we're not doing it, and we can do it now. Start over again. Others of you, blow off the dust of that Bible and choose those things that will bring you closer, ever closer to Jesus. Now, maybe some of you are asking, well, Pastor Ken, what might some of those be? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, I want to say I have no secret. I have no secret formula. But there is something that I want to share today that is as old as the Garden of Eden is old. And I believe that God is talking to us as Christian believers here to taste and see this truth that God gave to us in the Garden of Eden way back then. Taste and see it for the first time. And I have to admit that some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today, some of our Christian friends, maybe some here today, some that will be listening to the message in the future, will not be real comfortable with what I'm going to be sharing. But Jesus Christ, our Creator, He made something for us in the Garden of Eden. He made a gift. And there are so many Christians that have not opened that gift even yet. And I believe that Jesus actually is speaking to us to this very day. And this is what he's saying right here in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 27. Let's say it out loud together. The seventh day Sabbath was created to benefit mankind. Now that's a Williams paraphrase, or I should say a kind of a verse-by-verse study of that verse of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and verse 27. Did Jesus actually say that he made, that he designed the seventh-day Sabbath for me, a gospel-believing Christian? Yes. And I would like to suggest that in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, it could be read something like this. I did not create mankind for the seventh-day Sabbath. Rather, I created, uniquely created, the seventh-day Sabbath to be a benefit for mankind. He made this uniquely for you and me, the Sabbath, for mankind. Are you a part of mankind? Of course you are. He made it for you and me. Experience it again for the first time. Now we've turned in our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And we're going to take a look at verse 12. Notice now verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me, between them and me. So there was something about that the Sabbath as a sign between me and them was to be very close. That's interesting. For what reason? That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Now, what does God mean that He gave the seventh-day Sabbath so that you and I might know that He can make us holy? Now, that word sanctified means to make holy. Keeping the seventh-day Sabbath was designed by God to make us holy. Now, I want to put that in my everyday words here. Keeping the Sabbath was made by God to help us to become more and more and more like Jesus. And I would ask you today, have you ever thought of the seventh-day Sabbath as being given by God to help us to become more and more like Jesus? You see, according to the Bible, the Sabbath calls us to remember. And I want you to remember this. The Sabbath was not made only to help us to remember the right day that the Sabbath is on. That's involved, absolutely. But to remember especially, He designed the Sabbath so that we could especially remember the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He designed the Sabbath for that purpose, so that we could know the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Well, what do we need to know about Him? What do we need to remember about Him? Well, those of you that have your notes in front of you, it was in your bulletin, you want to fill in the blanks. First of all, He wants us to remember that Jesus Christ is our Creator. And that each Sabbath day, each seventh day, Saturday, Sabbath, we are to come and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Creator. And that we're here to acknowledge that we're satisfied with His works. And we want to rest in His works. We want to trust in His works. We want to praise Him and thank Him for His creative works. Jesus, our Creator. But not only that, the Bible calls us at the Sabbath, wants us to remember that Jesus is the author of our salvation. And each and every Sabbath day, we are to show to God and to the onlooking world that we rest in the completed work of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. We rest and we're satisfied with what He has done for us. There's nothing we can do to add to it. We proclaim it. We rest in it. But not only that, we're to remember that Jesus Christ is also the finisher of our salvation. And today, we're going to see that the Bible teaches that not only does Jesus forgive us, and the Sabbath points that to it, that Jesus has forgiven us, but also the Sabbath points to the fact that Jesus Christ heals us from what sin has done. Amen? And I want you to see this in the Scriptures, the Word of God. So, with your Bibles now open, let's get right in to God's Word. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus had just been in the wilderness. The Spirit of the Lord had already come upon Him. He was baptized with power. And the one thing that He did as He came from the wilderness, He'd been in the wilderness, now He's leaving the wilderness and He's making His way back to His hometown. And today, this is the context of Luke chapter 4, today is the Sabbath. And He's going to stand up and He's going to read there in the church, the temple, the book of Isaiah. And it's recorded for us what He read on the Sabbath, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And you've opened your Bibles there. Let's read it now. Follow as I read. Imagine Jesus reading this on the Sabbath. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You have brought your Bibles, and by the way, one of the words that we use for a Bible is a sword. You brought your sword? Raise your sword. I want to see your sword today. Here's my sword. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I brought my sword too. And I want to encourage you to sharpen your sword. And right in the side of each one of the verses that we read today, Jesus spoke these words on the Sabbath. So I would ask if you would to write there in verses 18 and 19, right in the corner or somewhere where you'll have to write small, some of your Bibles, Jesus said this on the Sabbath. Jesus said this on the Sabbath. Jesus said, I have come to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. And you know what the year of Jubilee they did? it was a year when the time when they reverted the land back to its original owner. It was a time when slaves were set free. Wow. It was the acceptable year of the Lord. And you can read all about the details of it, Leviticus chapter 25. But I want you to think about this. Jesus proclaimed the year of Jubilee on the seventh day Sabbath. What is Jesus implying here? What is he trying to tell us here? Are you with me? Are you understanding what we're trying to ask? Listen carefully, friends. He is saying that every Sabbath is a day of Jubilee. Think about that. Every Sabbath is to be a day to set captives free. Amen? Every Sabbath is to be a day that can be we can preach to the poor the good news. Every Sabbath is to be a day when healing is brought to people. Every Sabbath is to be a day of Jubilee. Do you believe that? I believe that too. I believe that as well. As I was thinking about this and preparing this sermon, the thought came to my mind, wow, that's not what most people think about the seventh-day Sabbath. What has the enemy done to the seventh-day Sabbath? I'll tell you what he's done. He's distorted it. He's made it into an ugly day, hasn't he? Sad. Most people, when they think of the Sabbath, Saturday, well, that's the day off. That's the day you go to the beach. That's the day you watch television. That's the day we do nothing. And when most of our Christian friends think about the Sabbath, oh, the Sabbath, that's a day of bondage. That's the day of legalism. That's the day that's destitute of the gospel. And if we think of the Sabbath that was created and given to us in Eden, it could be said, the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. The seventh-day Sabbath, for so many of our Christian friends, is a day of bad news. A day of bad news. Friends, like the popular media has done, it has done a masterful job of not telling you and me the truth. The enemy has sold us a lot of lies about the true seventh-day Sabbath. But my God and your God is a God of second chances. Are you glad for that? And yet, even today, at this very moment, He's going to give you and me another chance to discover for ourselves that Jesus was there in the Sabbath all this time. And it is my prayer that you will see Jesus in the Sabbath. Let's go to the Bible, the Word of God again. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, chapter 11. Again, we come to another Sabbath day, and the disciples are with Jesus. Now, the disciples had a lot of unlearning. A lot of unlearning to do about the Sabbath. Because, you see, the Jews had made the Sabbath into a day of bondage. A burdensome day. A day of do's and don'ts. There was no good news. There was no gospel. There was no correct picture of God in the Sabbath that the Jews had created. It was just lots of do's and don'ts. In fact, you know how many do's and don'ts? To be more exact, 1,521 restrictions placed upon the Sabbath that Jesus gave. 1,521 of them. And the world looked on, they saw the Sabbath of the Jews, and they said, if that's the Sabbath that tells us about God, I'm not interested in that. Distorted the Sabbath. But I want you to notice in the context, the familiar words of Jesus that he said on the seventh day Sabbath. He's speaking to you and me today. verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I would like to suggest that Jesus is talking here about a Sabbath-like rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Sabbath day is indeed a day that sums up the good news, because it is the day that God wants to take away the burdens of your life. It is a day that you and I can come to this house of God with sin in our lives and burdens, and we can lay them at the foot of the cross, and we can be healed, and burdens will be lifted. It is a day that Jesus says to us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? Jesus said this on the Sabbath. My friends, the Sabbath is a symbolizes here. It symbolizes the work that Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, wants to do in your life and my life every day of the week. But hear me out. But especially on the seventh-day Sabbath. Especially on the Sabbath. He wants to take burdens away from us. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Oh, I want to sing that song, and I don't want to sing it by myself. Would you sing it with me? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Jesus wants to set you and me free from our burdens every day of the week, but especially on the seventh-day Sabbath. From our burdens. If we carry burdens into church, and I know how many human beings I'm looking into their faces and how many human beings possibly will be listening to this message in the future, have burdens. Even today, on a Sabbath day, my friends, he does not want, and he never meant for you to leave this church with that same burden. Burdens are lifted. Have you ever stopped to think that God gave the Sabbath so that something would happen to us? The Sabbath is a day of lifting burdens from us, a day of healing from sin. It's not just a day that some people think, well, this is the day that I come and sleep in church. This is the day I'm a businessman. Everybody goes to church on church, and I'll go to church too. Yes. No. This is the day that we come with expectation, expectancy. Something's going to happen to us. Something's going to happen with the people around us. Oh, friends, think about it. Either God is here or he's not. Let's be honest, right? Either he's here or he's not. Either he's able to heal or he's not. Either he's telling us a lie about the Sabbath, and that's what people are thinking, oh, I'm so sorry about that, or he's giving to us yet another opportunity for us to meet Jesus, the real Jesus, on this seventh-day Sabbath. The Sabbath was made by God to remind us that he is able, that he's able. And I want to sing that song and invite you to sing it with me.
He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Carry me through what?
He healed the brokenhearted and set the captives free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. I know he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
When the Sabbath hours come, we should have a sense of expectancy. You see, the seventh-day Sabbath was made by God Himself, by Jesus Christ, our Creator Himself, to benefit us. It is, as it were, a channel that God works through to bless us. And you know what that says to me? That says to me that if we remove ourselves from church on His Sabbath day, we lose out in the opportunity of receiving blessings from God. Ouch! The Sabbath reminds us that God is our restorer and our healer. It is a symbol of the power of Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, if I was the devil, excuse me for that, but if I was the devil, I would just see to it that you didn't come to church. And no wonder he doesn't want you to come to church. No wonder he doesn't want you and me to worship on the seventh-day Sabbath, because he knows it's going to benefit you. The day that makes God look good, the day that was meant for healing and burden lifting. You know what I learned about the Sabbath? The Sabbath in the New Testament, in the Gospels, I should say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is mentioned 50 times. 50 times. And of those 50 times, and those of you that have your notes and you're filling them out so you can have something to share with others, of those 50 times in the Gospels that the Sabbath is mentioned, 26, I repeat, 26 of those Sabbaths, what did Jesus do? He healed. He healed. Now, it is a fact that Jesus healed every day throughout His ministry, but He did the majority of His healing on what day? The seventh day, Sabbath. The majority of His healing on the seventh day Sabbath. And I thought, why did he do that? Is that just happenstance that he happened to just heal more on Sabbath than he did the other days of the week? What is he trying to tell us? Or is he trying to tell us something? Oh, yes, he is. You see, he did most of his healings on the Sabbath because, friends, the Sabbath was given by Him to benefit us, to remind us that our God is the God who restores us, the God who makes us holy, the God who wants to heal us. And so I want to make a challenge to you today. The next time that you and I take time and open the Word of God and we get into the Gospels and we get to know Jesus. By the way, this is a good idea to do, to get to know Jesus, form a relationship with Him. Next time you do it, ultimately you're going to be studying about the Sabbath there. You're going to watch Jesus keep the Sabbath. And you're going to see Jesus. You know what you're going to see Jesus doing? You're going to see Jesus going out of His way, literally going out of His way to break the Sabbath of the Jews. The burdensome Sabbath of the Jews. He goes out of His way. 7-8 times He goes out of His way to break the Sabbath of the Jews. But watch Jesus. as he heals on the Sabbath that he created to benefit us. Watch him keep the Sabbath holy. I want to give you two examples of that. The time that we have time for two examples. Here's one, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Most of us know that story. It's a story about Jesus healing the paralytic, the man who was paralyzed. He had been laying there, pool of Bethesda, for 38 years. Burden with his paralysis. Now, how do I spiritually apply this to our lives? Brothers and sisters, this applies to us. This applies to us. There are people in this church today, there are people that are listening to this message today, that you may be sitting here today, and if you're honest with yourself, I have had a paralysis. I've had a burden. I've had a problem, a sin in my life for 20, 30, 35 plus years. And possibly you've given up hope of even being free from this sin, free from this burden, this problem. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is always, always a God of hope. And so again, I repeat, the Sabbath points to God who not only forgives, but a God who can restore us and heal us. Amen? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, before we go to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, with that in mind, there is a song that I've sang at times, and you've sang along with me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we need to sing it right now. Let's do that. Is anything too hard? Is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is too hard. Too hard for the Lord. For the Lord, nothing. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Not even your burden. Not even my burden. Jesus wants to come to all who are paralyzed. Today, on this Sabbath, those of us who are unable to pray, those of us who are unable to sing, and I see some of you who are unable to sing from your heart. Those of us who are unable to read the Bible because we want to hear what Jesus has to say. Those of us who our spiritual powers are paralyzed and we don't like it. And he comes to us and said, would you like to be made whole? Jesus is speaking to us. Would you like to be made whole? What's your answer? What's your answer? Yes. Yes. That man was paralyzed. And when you're paralyzed, you can't do anything. You just sit there. Yes. He willed to be made whole. He desired to be made whole. He willed to be made whole. And he was made whole. Do you? And I include myself, do we want to be healed spiritually, physically? The Holy Spirit supplies the power to do. Hold on to that wonderful application from the Word of God. But there's another one, and there's so many, but I'm just having time here for two. Here, take a look at this one. And this is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. It's a story about the blind man. He had been blind his whole life. His whole life he could not see. You may have come from a dysfunctional family, friends. And I know there are some of you here have experienced some form of abuse. Abuse from your father or from someone else, and as a result of that, you may not be able to have a correct picture of God, what He is like. And it affects so many things in our lives. You and I may not be able to see the beauty of God's truth, of His Word, because of the way we were brought up. We had prejudices. All we heard was a lot of, well, how's the kids say, what did the young people, a bunch of do's and don'ts. New religion, but didn't know Jesus. A lot of do's and don'ts. So many people are blind about so many things. Some people actually are pretending to be blind. You know why? Because they're afraid to share Jesus with other people. They're afraid to share the truths of God's Word with other people. And they're afraid, they say, well, they might make fun of me. I might not have the answer, and I stand here before you. I've been there, and I've felt that same way. But Jesus says to all who are blind, would you like to see? Would you like to see? And Jesus healed that man that Sabbath, and a change took place in his life. And those who knew him best were able to recognize that change. Or wait a minute, is that him? No, that can't be him. Yes, it is him. And those who know you and me best, when we are changed, when we can see, when the eye salve of the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we experience the filling of the Spirit and we're able to see in a way that we've never seen before, our whole life will change and we'll be able to reflect the character of Jesus more fully. And people will ask, is that the same person? Is that the same woman? Is that the same man? Is that the same young person that we've known? No, I don't think so. No, yes, it is. Well, they brought this man who had been blind and now he sees. Brought him to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin was religious leaders, and these religious leaders were given the responsibility to reveal the character of God to the world. And what they could do to that blind man who now see, they could have rejoiced. They could have given the glory to God. But they riddled him with questions. Who? What? Where? How? Why? All of that just came out. They wanted to know. They wanted to know all the facts. And he gave them a very simple answer. Remember the simple answer? I was blind, but now I see. Wow. Now that man, that young man who was blind and now he see, but he did not realize that a song would actually be sung that you and I could sing today. And I would invite you to sing with me, Amazing Grace. Let's sing it together.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Jesus wants to do that in your life, in my life, because the Sabbath sums up the good news of the gospel. This is a day that the Lord has made, and He made it for you and me to bet affect us, to benefit us, to help us. This is a day that sums up the good news. It tells the real truth about what our God is like. It tells us what Jesus is like. It reminds us that Jesus can be trusted. It tells us Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he is able to do. Who is he, by the way? He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. And He's inviting us to rest in Him, to trust in Him. I pray that some of you are thinking right now, wow, if this is what the Sabbath is all about, how can I as a Christian keep the Sabbath as a Christian? Because I've heard so many times that some of the distorted pictures of the Sabbath, how do I keep the Sabbath as a Christian? Well, part of my objective in this series of messages, when I have an opportunity in the future, is not only help you to see that the Sabbath is not just the right day, but above all, the Sabbath is Christian. It uplifts Jesus. And I want to help you to know how to keep the Sabbath as a Christian. But begin here. Begin here. This is foundational. Begin here. Begin with the center. This is the center. This is the heart. This is the blood that runs through the veins. Rest in His works. Rest in Jesus. First of all, we must be satisfied with the works that Jesus Christ, our Creator, has made. Are you satisfied with His works of creation? We must also be satisfied with the righteousness that He provides us in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied with the righteousness of Christ, who He is and what He has done for us? Are you satisfied with that? Jesus, our Redeemer? Then, friends, as we rest in His works each Sabbath day, let us come before Him expecting and believing that God, by His Holy Spirit, is ready to heal us and to restore us and to make us holy. Amen and amen. This is a day that points to something greater than itself. Greater than itself. Jesus Christ. I would invite you to join me as we pray, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want to make three simple appeals today. In one way or another, every one of us here can relate to this. The first appeal I want to make today is that even when we present this Sabbath, Jesus is uplifted. And there may be some here today, you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. And you can be saved today, not because of your righteousness, but because Jesus Christ's righteousness. Because He met the full demands of the law of God for you and me. Stop carrying that burden. Stop carrying that obligation. Jesus wants to forgive you. Jesus wants you to know that you can be accepted, and God will accept you in Jesus. This is the first appeal, to accept Jesus as your Redeemer. But also, maybe there are some here today, this morning, who have been struggling about the Sabbath question. And this morning, the Spirit of God has pricked your heart again. And you want again to be able to obey by faith in Jesus, the fourth commandment of His moral law. It is as if you're saying, I need to begin to keep God's holy day because of what it says about Jesus, what it says about God's character. And I'm inviting you to keep the Sabbath day that uplifts Jesus. Jesus, our Creator. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our Restorer. But maybe there are some here today who have been keeping the Sabbath day for the wrong reason. Boy, that has been my case until I really discovered Jesus and the Sabbath. And you realize that the Sabbath keeping is more than just keeping the right day. But today you want to keep it for more than just the right day, but because of what that day says about God. And you've been keeping the day like a Pharisee.
I'm keeping the right day.
Oh, but Lord, you've helped us today to see as Christians that we can acknowledge Jesus as our Creator and our Redeemer and to rest in His works on your Sabbath day. But I want to share with you yet another appeal to your heart, my heart included. The Sabbath was created so that we would realize that it is a day of restoration, a day of healing. The Sabbath is a day that the Lord would have us pray, especially for those who are in need of healing. Jesus wants to heal us today. Now, there are times when God chooses not to remove physical burdens, and so we must ask Him, Thy will be done. But certainly, friends, this is the day that we should come to Jesus, pray in faith, and say, Lord, is it Your will today to remove this from me? And so, as we sing together this song, all to Jesus, I surrender. If you have some physical burden, and you want to commit it to the Lord, and even if He should choose not to heal you, my friend, He'll give you renewed power to cope. The Sabbath is a day for spiritual healing as well. Burdens will be lifted. Sins can be forgiven. So whatever the invitation applies to your life, Lord, in speaking to our hearts today, I'm going to invite all of us now to sing this beautiful song, All to Jesus I Surrender. You can look on the screen as we sing this beautiful song together. And as we do it, knowing what these three appeals are, do they relate to you? Do you want to come forward as a way of saying, Lord, I can relate to this. I want to come to You. And so as we sing this song, respond to that call today. Come with me. I'm going to come forward as well. Sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Thank You, Jesus, for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for giving us an opportunity to respond. Some of us have come forward. There are others that are seated that could come forward but chose not to. But Lord, You know their hearts. And right now, Lord, those that are able, let's kneel together. Let's come before the Lord. Kneel together. Loving, precious Father, as we have come today, we want to respond to this invitation. There are some here that have come forward because they want to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, Lord, upon a life that we never lived, in a death we never died, we base all of our eternity. Lord, we want to dedicate our lives to Jesus, our saving substitute, our Redeemer. And Father, there are others of us here today, whether we're here or we're listening to this tape in the future. We've learned some things about Your Sabbath that make the Sabbath attractive. The Sabbath is Christ-centered. It draws us to you, Jesus, inviting us to rest in your works as our Creator and our Redeemer. And Father, we would choose to do that today on your Sabbath day, to give a praise and glory for who you are and what you've done. And yet others have come forward today, Lord, because they have learned to discover that the Sabbath is a day that you want to restore us and heal us physically and spiritually. And Father, your will be done. You do what is right and best. Oh, for those that want to be healed, Lord, you can heal them today if that is your will, Lord. If not, help them to know that you will see them through, that you will give them strength. But there are many here today who want to be healed spiritually from their burdens, Lord. Oh, forgiveness. Burdens of hurt are there. Burdens of memories. Lord, you can heal them. Help them to look to you, Jesus, the one who makes them holy. Today, God, we give you praise and glory. And so as one more time we sing from our heart to you, all to Jesus I surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him and his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender all.
And God's people said to Jesus, amen, amen. You may now go back to your seats. God is good, isn't he? He's good always, all the time. Jesus has spoken to our hearts today. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day. And remember, the Sabbath points to something greater than itself.